This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy is somewhere, and then Bobby Roberto Belt here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan.
He's over here networking with Thomas Dimitrov. They're talking ball over here.
He has no... He doesn't belong in radio.
He thinks we're recorded. He was like, we're recorded, right? And I was like, yeah, we got a segment coming up here, but I don't think he realized it had to be intro'd.
It doesn't have to be intro'd. I just decided to have us talk for a little bit.
Just to make him... Make him look bad. Yeah, just an awareness thing. Like this is a test of your. You're doing what would you? You're Sean Quinonising him. You're saying what would you do?
You know, I guess he does get a little pass. He assumed it was a pre-record, which it is. Yesterday, Bobby set us up, finally up top on the bounty set, where we could look down on all these other minions and these people who finished below us in the Jason Barrett Sports Talk ratings.
Hell yeah, just looking down on them, thumbing our nose at them. It's an awesome view up there. And that bounty set is so cool.
Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey sitting down with us on the home of America's team. All right, sitting down with two guys we know very well in the home of the Cowboys. I don't know if these are bounty or Notre Dame jackets.
Well, they're bounty, but they can go both ways. I mean, I could have worn it to the game last week.
Well, yeah, the not so fighting Irish.
Oh! Oh, God.
What's your squad? Yeah, SMU guy.
No, Tennessee, just as bad. Just as bad this year.
How much to pay you, Brandon, just kick him right in the balls?
Man,
I'd do it for free.
Yeah. Some guys will pay for that.
Especially down here. You never know.
All right. More shock. Brian Schottenheimer or Luka Doncic?
Oh, Luka, for sure. Yeah. No, it's crazy. I told Brandon, we were walking over here, I was like, I should have like read up on the trade because that's the most question. I've gotten more questions about Luka than anything else.
Did you guys have any type of personal relationship with him? Did you know him at all?
I'd met him briefly. I shook his hand, but no, I didn't know him.
You a Hoops fan, Brandon?
I watch the playoffs when the Mavs are in it. That's about it. But, yeah, it's shocking to get rid of the face of your franchise, whatever sport you're playing. And especially going, like, you're going older, like almost, what, 6 years older?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just give him the Supermax, right?
Yeah.
You would think
right?
So. Has anything shocked you all, like, in your in the NFL, like when a move that happened that just kind of stunned the league?
No, nothing really coming to mind. I'm trying to think of not us.
Schottenheimer.
this guy.
That's two Schottenheimer references.
Yeah.
So Brian Schottenheimer seems to have a ton of support from players. Guys on the offense really love him. Brandon, obviously, he'll be working with all you guys. What are your thoughts on just him as a coach, the way he's been the last 3 years he's been in the building?
Yeah, I think he's going to be great. You know, I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their heads, but the guys that have worked with him in the building are very confident. And, you know, he's a relationships guy. When he's up in front of the team, like, just the energy that he brings and the connective that I think he's going to bring to the offense and defense, especially inside the ball. I know that's kind of first and foremost what he wants to do. And, you know, I've always been one to say, you know, the closer the team, you know, the better team you're at the end of the season. You can tell the teams that are real close. And I think that's a priority for him when he comes in.
Does it matter to a player whether the coach is like a – like an X's and O's, that's like their genius, or that they're like the culture leadership type? Does it matter to a player?
I think I've had this conversation like recently, actually. I think you've got to bring an edge in whatever it is. You know, whether your edge that you're bringing to the team is the play calling, whether it's, you know, motivationally, whether it be, you know, anything else. You got to bring an edge to your team. And, you know, I think Brian will do a great job at that.
Joined by Zach Martin and Brandon Aubrey here on 105 The Fan. Brandon, this isn't just new head coach. We've also got a new special teams coordinator here. Have you gotten a chance to talk to Coach Sorensen at all yet? And just your thoughts on, you know, Bones moving on and going to Tennessee.
Yeah, haven't had a chance to meet or speak with Nick yet, but I'm excited. I actually, at the Pro Bowl, was able to speak with two of his former specialists. He was with the Jags as a special teams coordinator previously, and they absolutely raved about him. They loved working with him. So he's a very relaxed guy's not kind of trying to overcoach specialists specifically. He does the obviously work with the special teams unit as a whole, but not really trying to curtail or work with the kickers and figure out exactly what they need to do to kick the ball. So that's what I loved about Bones, not to mention the energy he brings every day. He gets guys to really buy in to being on special teams. He doesn't overcoach technique and all that stuff. He lets guys go out and play fast. He wants you to not be afraid of making mistakes. He actually actively encourages you to play fast and make mistakes and just learn from them, not make them twice. So it's a big loss losing Bones. Obviously, we'd love to have him here, but excited to work with Nick.
Did Bones, or I've always wondered, does a special teams coach go through your kicking technique, or that's something you just have on your own? No one really messes with that. Like, does the special teams coach break down the way you're kicking?
Not Bones, and that's why one of the reasons I loved him. Obviously can't speak for other special teams coordinators. He's the only one I had in the NFL. In the USFL, I had a former kicker, also Bones, but Boneal was his last name. He was a kicker for the Cowboys previously, so he was a little more hands-on, and he was just trying to help and kind of help me find my form, kind of go through my mental process as well, which was helpful for me. But no, the guys that haven't kicked in the league before, haven't kicked at any level really, they typically stick away from trying to tell someone how to do a job that they've never done before.
This is another thing I always wonder. How difficult is it to, like, self-correct, like a mechanical flaw in-game? Like, you know, other sports, like a golfer, may have to do that during the middle of a round.
Yeah.
How difficult is it to do it in-game? Because you can't see the flight into the net.
Yeah. No, it's not terribly difficult. For me, what I do is I try and keep each kick independent of the last. And in a game, I'm not really even thinking about my previous kick. I'm going back to my process. I'm not saying, okay, I missed right. Now, why did I miss right? Let's go through it. Unless there's something really obvious, I'm not workshopping mid-game. I'm going to go and just get through the game, get everything properly lined up like normal, and then at the end of the game, go watch film and see what I did wrong.
Can you walk around DFW freely now? You still go? Are you going unrecognized? Are you getting stopped much more?
I'm generic white guy.
There's a guy that one of my best friends is like, I think Brandon Aubrey is walking his dog in my neighborhood, but I'm scared. I just wanted to tell you that to out him. He's probably listening. Yeah. So put the stalker alert on him if that's the case. I don't know if that's true or not, but I didn't know if you could walk around grocery store.
No, I don't have a dog, so that's what I'm saying. Just generic white guy.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. He's liar, totally wrong. Zach, you know, with the changeover we talked about already, Shoddy coming in, taking things over. What is that balance, do you think, in terms of – Steven talked about this in the press conference, that, hey, Brian gives us some carryover, some continuity, but there's still some change that we felt like we needed. What is that balance, I guess, in terms of trying to take the good while also saying, hey, there's some things we need to correct over here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously – I mean, I've never been a coach, but obviously Shoddy's got a lot of years under his belt as a coordinator. So I'm sure – you know, I'm sure it's hard – you know, being the offensive coordinator by name and not calling the plays, and you kind of want your signature on all that stuff. So I think he'll bring some of the stuff that he's done in the past and then take the good stuff that we've done the last few years and try to kind of mesh together. But it'll be a him and Dak thing. Obviously those guys are very close and they'll be working together on that and you know, making sure they're firing all cylinders.
Steven kept talking about culture in the press conference. What do you think was maybe not connecting from past to what Brian's going to bring?
I don't know, because I got a ton of respect for Coach McCarthy and what he did when he came in here, but for whatever reason, something was off this year. You know, I mean, you guys were around a little bit too. It's just, you know, just things weren't gelling, weren't clicking, and I think that's something that Shotty that he views as kind of A1 importance to kind of get that fellowship, that brotherhood back in the locker room and both sides of the ball and that complimentary football that everyone talks about. It's a lot easier when, you know, you're close with the guys on the team. I mean, say what you want, but yeah. When you're close with the guys on the team, it may give you that little extra gear. So they're just kind of bringing that, I don't know, that community-type feel back to the locker room.
All right, Bob, hit him with the last one.
All right, last one. We know you're talking about seeing the end a little bit. Have you made any decisions about
playing next year? You're the first person to ask me that. No, you're not. You're the eighth. I'm focused on getting healthy, right? I think people forget, like, I'm a free agent, so I'm not under contract with anyone. First and foremost, I want to get healthy, and then when free agency rolls around, see what's going on, and then make a decision from there.
All right, which one of these two wings would you all be going for? This looks to be barbecue, hot wings, and please tell me regular bone-in and not boneless like Choppy here.
Yeah. Oh. Choppy.
He judged the hell out of you.
Yeah, that was like, yeah. No, listen. I kind of looked at you in a different light.
Here's the thing. I don't want to eat. Because I bite my nails.
Yeah.
I don't want it 2 days later.
Yeah.
Which, because I would get it 2 days.
Look at their reaction.
Yeah. Oh, I wash. Don't you worry. I wash.
and you dry with Bounty paper towels.
Absolutely.
I can always tell when it's the off season because, like, in the off season, I have my nails grow out, and in the in season, I bite them during meetings to, like, I don't know, stay busy, best time. But I always know when it's off season. Yeah.
Which ones?
Flats. I go either one. I mean, I'll go buffalo, but I like barbecue, flats all day, ranch, no blue cheese.
Brandon, no blue cheese.
Yeah,
I'm not picky. I'll eat anything. So anything you throw in front of me, I'm eating.
All right, there it is. Your Dallas Cowboys on the home of America's team, Zach Martin, Brandon Aubrey. Thank you so much, guys. Have fun out here, and we hope to see you back.
I appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Good luck with that dog walk. All right, Bob, what are you taking from Zach Martin's response? Are you taking it to the culture first or his future?
And this was a discussion yesterday when he was doing some of the interviews. And hearing him just there talk about it, listening back to it, he does sound like he might be open to being somewhere else next year. If he did, like, it doesn't sound like it's a slam dunk he retires. He's trying to get healthy. So I thought that was interesting. I thought the statement on, hey, I loved Coach McCarthy, but something wasn't right last year, and Shotty's going to make sure that we have that brotherhood and that fellowship back in the locker room. That sounds like maybe things were a little more disorganized in there last year than the Cowboys.
Which is so weird to think about when Mike's big strength, in my opinion, was likability from the players.
Yeah, and I think
everyone, you know, I don't want to say country clubby, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, we're talking about brotherhood and connectivity when it seemed like Mike was a player's coach.
Do we think that his statement was like a culture-y thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was in direct response to a culture question.
Right, but like, was it okay?
Here's what he said. I've got a ton of respect for Coach McCarthy and what he did when he came in here, but for whatever reason, something was off this year. Things weren't gelling, weren't clicking, and I think that's something Shotty views as A1 importance to kind of get that fellowship, that brotherhood back in the locker room. That is culture.
Yeah, I think a lot. I wonder a lot of that has to do with how everyone was on edge with everything being a final year thing going into it.
Could be. I think there's also
even Dak and CD, like when they got to camp, they were on edge. Because of their contract situation.
Well, Dak, he got signed, and CD got his.
They got signed, but they got signed like, you know,
all
obviously.
Before. Yeah, but then you have 17 weeks. You know,
yeah, I think
like,
I think
like
a
you
lot
got
of
you got you got 35 and 60 million a year. There goes your I think a lot attention.
Of these, I think I a think lot just, of these issues start. They start at camp and they just fester.
Likeability and like I think Mike is likable and players like him, but it's also like. Likeability and leadership aren't necessarily going to be the same thing, and
yeah.
it may just have been that he didn't have the handle on the locker like that.
The Dallas Mavericks, I guess they're surprised by how angry you are. They're so surprised, they're giving you your money back. Next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dallas win. Zellweger, though, keeps it in. In front by himself. Zegras score! Redirection by Zegras. 2-1 Ducks.
There is the call of the Ducks 2-1 victory over the Dallas Stars on ESPN+. What?
Look at that. Oh, what's the Money Puck say?
Did you block Money Puck? I can't access Money Puck. It's telling me that this connection is not allowed. On my laptop on this Wi-Fi. I was just going to pull it up and it's
oh my
blocked.
God! Oh my God! The NFL blocked it. The NFL blocked it.
Like you're not talking about.
You are not. You are not accessing. Let me see an NBA. Can you go to like NBA.com? Right here?
There's no way. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, you can go to NBA.com. Yeah, they blocked Money Puck.
Good. Hopefully, someone shut it down.
You got that kind of weight you throw around is six. you call the NFL.
So oh, because we're the number six show in the country, according to the other dumb program directors who voted us too low. Stars end up losing to Anaheim. You got anything on this, Chuck?
I was not able to watch this game.
Well, you weren't in the book? You weren't in the sports book?
The game was not started yet. The game had not started yet, but they've struggled with Anaheim this year. And Anaheim is they're a team that is.
It was Ottinger's first loss against the Ducks in 9 games.
Oof! The other one was Casey DeSmith started earlier this year when they lost that game back in November. But you know, Anaheim was a team last year that was really, really bad, really, really young. But they were like they're on the come up, and now they're kind of around 500. And the Stars just have not played tremendous hockey against them. This year, they've only scored 3 goals in the 2 games.
63% Anaheim. So Money Puck was correct, and they're deserved to win-o-meter.
The Dallas Mavericks PR disaster continues as the news broke yesterday. I will get her name and give her the proper credit once I find it. They're giving
Abby Jones.
Yeah. They're giving refunds?
Yeah. How about that, man? The Mavs are giving away. They're going to refund the season ticket cost. So they've offered refunds for the remaining home games this year.
Wow.
To fans who have, you know, kind of cancel their plans, cancel their season ticket plans. So that's actually a really good move on their part.
The value is around $2,000. $2,000 back to you if you were like, you know what, screw you guys, I'm out, I'm not showing up. And they're giving you $2,000 back.
Are they going to tell us how many of those calls they got? Like, maybe they feel like they haven't gotten any real, like, cancellation calls yet, so they, will publicly say, I don't know. Like,
they're not going to tell us.
But, and that's what I mean. Like, have they, I wonder, have they not been inundated with cancellations yet? Is it going to be people at renewal aren't going to take it? Or, like, I just wonder.
Why would this story come out if they weren't getting cancellation calls?
I would imagine that the team had said, hey, we're offering this up. And so it's probably just a PR move of, like, look, we're showing that we're doing solid.
Now, she has, as of now, removed all those tweets.
Who, Abby?
Yeah, all those tweets have. I just want to look because as an update, they're all gone.
The Mavericks, let me call them out because I wouldn't let anyone get away with this. The Mavericks are silencing certain people. They're silencing Instagram comments. Haven't you been trying to comment?
Yeah, you can't. Like, I mean, they've limited it. So they're basically moderating who can comment on their Instagram posts about the Luka situation.
They're stopping certain team employees from, like, speaking and conducting interviews. Y'all are a bunch of chickens. Y'all are a bunch of cowards. Do it. Go ahead. Stand on it. If you're going to make the move, don't sit there and try to silence everyone. Absolutely. And run and hide. Stop being a bunch of wusses. You're going to silence people because you don't. Again, I give Jerry Jones credit. Jerry Jones, he wouldn't be doing something like that. Nick Eatman was on right after Brian Schottenheimer was hired, and he works for the team's website. That's chicken ass Mavericks.
Yeah, and
not that they give a crap. They traded Luka Doncic. So right? they don't give a crap what I or anyone else thinks.
Also, this isn't just like the first time. Like, we've heard of some weird authoritarian things they've done before with criticism relating to the team and different things like that. And so, I mean, this just seems to kind of be the way this operates. I wonder.
It sounds like Nico may be extra sensitive.
Yes. Yeah. But, I mean, it also could be.
I mean, the world came crashing down on him in a hard way.
No, but even before this.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
No, before this, we know of some stories behind the scenes we're not going to relay where he sounds a little sensitive compared to the way other teams operate, which is really weird that he would hear it and be aware of it with the way he's conducted. You were thrown off by his press conference. Mm-hmm. And then for them, I refuse to believe that the Dallas Mavericks are really surprised over this reaction. You cannot be.
That's not being able to read the room.
You can't.
Right?
That's not able to breathe, walk around and breathe as a human being. You've got to be that stupid. They cannot be that stupid.
Unless they think.
I don't believe it.
Unless they're blown away by the fact. Obviously, and Windhorst wrote about this, McMahon wrote about this, they all did. They talked about, like, they pinpointed the trade they wanted. They this is who we want.
Yeah.
Unless Nico has such a high viewpoint of Anthony Davis,
yeah,
and doesn't understand how the rest of the league doesn't feel the same way. That's it. Other than that,
when did they take over the team? I'm going to throw out a
21.
Nico or the Adelsons?
The Adelsons.
That was what, a year ago?
Yeah, I want to know
Nico
when.
Nico was 21.
I want to know about the owners. I'm going to throw out a theory. They took over. When did Cuban sell it? Was it mid-season?
December 27th, 2023.
Okay. I'm just trying to, in my mind, I'm thinking that Patrick Dumont, let's say he knows nothing about basketball until that date. What were the Luka narratives and what happened around here with Luka? Is there a way that he saw what happened in the finals, heard the Brian Windhorst clip, heard us call him out, the fan base call him out, and he's like, and that altered the reality of how much Luka is loved because he heard more negative stuff about Doncic from when he took over? I'm just trying to throw out a theory.
When the Windhorst thing happened in the finals. And
like,
and
oh, my God, this is the way the NBA, the rest of the NBA talks about him. This is the way, I don't know.
It could just be disconnected. It could just be that they are radically disconnected from what public opinion is.
I mean, that's possible.
Don't we know there are PR people over there? Aren't there PR people, like, pretty solid?
Generally.
That's their reputation. But, I mean,
that would be their job. I've always viewed it as their job to let the important people know what's being said. Now, maybe sometimes they don't. I don't know. Maybe the important people don't want to hear it.
Maybe not. I mean, but, like,
if he's as thin-skinned as we seem to think he might be, then maybe there's a, I don't want to see whatever's out there. Or like it may be that he doesn't want to have any of that in his sphere.
I don't think that there's a chance that Patrick Dumont wasn't just, you know, dropped into the earth, never known. I mean, he grew up in a, even as Wikipedia, he grew up in a family passionate about basketball. There's no way you can be passionate about a sport and have no idea the greatness.
He laughed. He laughed when it was brought up to him, the trade. That's what Nico said. Nico said Patrick Dumont laughed at him.
Yeah, and it still went through. Mike Pelucci, I guess he's an editor for D Magazine. He tweeted, "There's been belief, which multiple team and league sources expressed to me over the past months, long before this trade, that Harrison does not have a long-term desire to remain in his current role as general manager."
That, to me...
That came out of nowhere yesterday.
Yes, and that makes perfect sense with this. You know, Nico has, if he views his role with the Mavericks as having an expiration date, it completely makes sense to speed up the timeline. Completely makes sense. Now, this is where it's on the owner to say, your timeline doesn't matter here, champ.
Exactly.
Right? Like, we are on our timeline. That's the job of the owner to step in and say,
because this was a horrific business decision.
Right, like,
I think about John Merrill saying, Saquon's our most popular player. What about all the jerseys? He said that on Hard Knocks. That's nothing compared to this. That's nothing. No one's buying a Saquon jersey in Slovenia. All right? Like, this was an all-time bad business decision.
So this is incumbent on the owner, governor, whatever, that you don't. This is a bad decision. We're going to overrule you here. And I know you put him in charge of it, even though Cuban did. They didn't.
I'm going to say something.
Uh-oh.
It's not going to be popular. Bobby's going to shake his leg even more. There's a lot of things about what happened with this deal. I'm just trying to be objective. You know, I'm FAF. There's a lot of things that happened in this deal that we always want our teams to do. And we're just furious about it this time. All we do is talk about culture and setting an example and doing things the right way and being in shape and being a professional. No one gives a rat's ass about that if Luka Doncic did not live up to that. All we talk about with the football team is for the owner to let the GM do their thing. The Dallas Mavericks just executed that to a T. We cry all the time. GM's not allowed. GM's not, forget about the Jerry mixture thing. The owner should let the GM run the team. Keep your freaking nose out of it. The Dallas Mavericks just did that. And we are furious and ticked off over it.
Yeah, because it's a shoe executive doing something.
But the shoe executive had the team in the finals.
I know.
Stop. You got to put a little respect on his name for what he did in the past. Team was in the NBA finals. They have a fantastic roster.
And Jerry, Jerry as a GM won 3 Super Bowls. But we still go like, okay, but
no, that's not the same thing. That was last year versus 30 years ago.
It's not the same thing. He won 3 of them. And so this is the thing where when you,
I don't care what you did 30 years ago. I care what you did last year. So it's not the
until
same.
He drives off a cliff and trades away like in a move that honestly the league should have stopped it. They should have stopped it the way they did. Especially if league sentiment is that Nico's going to be out of here, the league definitely should have stepped in then.
His perception changed, his legacy changed, at least at the moment, in the interim. And look, I mean, there's no doubt that that he had a massive hand in getting back to the NBA Finals last year. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The biggest mover obviously is Luka. None of the moves matter. They don't have Luka.
Sure.
And that's that. At the end of the day, and he didn't get Luka here. Luka was already here. He inherited him, and that also plays into like it's not his guy. Like it's not his.
People are pissed off at Mark Cuban for selling the team because that allowed this to happen.
Yeah.
They're even taking it back to Cuban. You screwed us by selling to these people who let Luka go.
For completely forgetting the fact that the last 25 years of this organization doesn't happen without Mark Cuban. This organization was going nowhere. I mean, they had Dirk. Obviously, he inherited Dirk. But Cuban put so many things into this organization in the beginning to set a foundation.
Cuban would have never, as unpopular as Cuban became, and Cuban would have never traded Luka.
Never.
Had Cuban traded Luka, though, he would have never handled himself up there at that press conference the way Nico did.
There's a lot of owners that may have traded Dirk at some point.
Yeah.
Mark was like, no, you're not doing that.
What did Chandler Parsons say Cuban texted him?
So when Chandler said, I'm very confused about this, Mark responded with a text and said, that makes two of us. Now, in past, when people had asked him, all he responded was MFFL. But, you know, obviously Chandler's got a he's got a better relationship with him. I don't know if Mark thought that was for air, you know.
Right.
But
probably
he,
not.
He said that makes two of us. That's at least what Chandler Parsons
no,
said.
No, he should be happy, though. He should be happy yeah. that got out because that separates himself yep. from it. All right. What is it like to interview for an NFL GM position? We wouldn't know about that around here on the home of the Cowboys. Thomas Dimitroff does. One of our favorite guests at Radio Row every year, the former NFL GM, sits down with us next on 105.3 The Fan. One of our favorite guests every single year here at Radio Row, the former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. Sounds like he was almost a GM again. Thomas Dimitroff sitting down on 105.3 The Fan, home of the Cowboys. What's up, man?
Gents, here again. Yeah, this is one of my favorite visits, you guys.
You talking... say that to everyone. I've heard you say that to everyone.
Well,
I've overheard you say that.
Let me see. But I've said it to you guys, and I've said it to Mike Florio. So, okay. So some big hitters. You guys are right there in good company. You can have more than one favorite.
Yeah, but okay. I guess so.
Right, your kids, right? The one favorite. There you go. Right.
Who was your favorite pick that you ever made?
Favorite pick ever?
Yep.
It had to be Matt Ryan, and that's an easy one. Oh, it's Julio, too, right?
Oh, so you can have more than one. Julio and Matt Ryan.
Look at me. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Good point.
What did you think of the stunning Schottenheimer news?
I was surprised. I like Brian. I like the family. I've known him a long time. So I just... What happened with me is I was very involved in the interviews that I was interviewing for. I was trying to reach out to some of the potential coaches, and he was one that wasn't on my list. So in my
was
mind,
not.
No, because I was looking at I was provided with another list to really start communicating with. I didn't know where Brian was with that whole, you know, that whole search process for him. I thought he was anchored in and where he was on the coordinator side.
How big of a candidate was he 15 years ago?
I think a lot of people were talking about him. They're all talking about his intelligence, and the family thing, right, is a big deal. I don't care how you look at it. In the NFL, there is this sort of inside the lines discussion when you're a coach's son and someone that successful, that you think that they have this innate ability to be that next leader. And I think that was talked about a lot back then. And then it kind of, you know, it seemed like it faded away. I don't know exactly when it faded away. Do you guys have an assessment or a context on that?
2011, 2010.
Well, the Jets thing, right? The Jets were where boring. They were because of defense, boring offense. Mark Sanchez bust. Seattle, he got this dinosaur of reputation along with Pete that they're going to be conservative and run the ball. And what's the nickname some people gave him? Schottenheimer?
R2P2.
What's that
run,
mean?
Run, run, pass, punt.
So kind of those things. So I didn't know if you knew anything about him offensively or anything else in depth. That you
no,
can share with
no I wish I could talk about that again. Usually, if I'm drilling down on some coaches, I would be more able to talk about that.
We are furious in the Metroplex over a lack of search. Is there something we're missing about that? We're like, why don't you talk to Ben Johnson? Talk to Belichick? Talk to Vrabel? Talk to Aaron Glenn? Why didn't you do it? Is there something we're not, or are we off with being angry about that?
No, and I really want to know because the depth of that, like I was a part of a Jets interview where, you know, the Jets were interviewing almost, I think it was 25 GMs and 25 head coaches. That was extensive. Now, you know, you could argue that that was more than needed. I mean, you sit there and you talk to some of these search people out there that are interviewing for the, you know, CEO of Ralph Lauren. And they're like, well, we had five people that we were really drilled down on. So there is there's a nice fine line there, right? I think you do have to cast a net. And so how many people were interviewed in the whole process?
It was two external that Sala. Were Rooney Rule candidates, basically. Okay. It was Sala and Leslie Frazier, and then it was Schottenheimer and Kellen Moore.
Okay. Wow. So interesting. Yeah, no, I
yeah, so, it's so, real interesting.
So and do they ever share who was in that search group? Or not the search group, in the interview?
In the meeting. Will McClay sat in on those with the Joneses, I know. And okay. So that was kind of the core of it. But and I don't know that Will McClay had sat in on the previous searches in the past. Okay. But it does – I'm curious, you mentioned the Jets there. And when we talk about the list of candidates, what do you think about this trend of teams who use search firms to go find coaches or whoever else and say, hey, go find candidates for us to interview?
Yeah, I mean, again – the Jets were very involved with Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman, former general managers, right? That was a big thing for them, and they knew football. What was happening there and what happens there in that case is the owners there, and they ask questions, bigger picture questions, and they go to the football questions from the search guys, right? But if you have your own group, Will McClay and the people there, those are the people, in my mind, should, you know, be adept enough and understanding enough, and Will is a very good football man, to ask the strong football questions. There's a difference between what Rick Spielman and Mike Tannenbaum are doing with their background in football and a random search group, whoever that may be. I don't want to throw a search group, and they don't have football background, and they're just there to help, you know, make calls and pull names together. I mean, I think we all can go to the internet, and here's 10, 15 guys we need to bring into. So I think you need to be smart about it. I will say this, in the search side, on the interview side, very quickly, if you get the wrong people in the interview group and you have like 8 people or 10 people and they all have ulterior motives, they're not necessarily picking the right coach for the situation. They're thinking, this guy's going to be good. He's going to keep me. I'm a cap and contract guy. He'll bring in someone else if you take this guy. Like, there's a lot of that going on sometimes. That's a very important pick in my mind, is who's going to be at the table interviewing.
Thomas Dimitroff joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. So we've been thinking the Cowboys, they obviously operate in a different way than everybody else. They're run like a mom and pop. How are the rest of the league structuring their front offices now?
Well, I think the big thing that's coming around, and you saw it right now recently in Jacksonville with Tony Boselli being announced as the president of football operations, right? Not the president of the entire organization. That guy right now, guy or gal in the future, you never know how it is, are going to be over top of the head coach and the GM. And they have to have football background. I mean, Tony is not a manager. He wasn't, but he knows, he's a Hall of Famer. He knows inside out on the O-line, and he's got management ability, and he keeps maybe some of the younger and first-time coaches that they can bring in those spots, GMs and coaches, in check. You know, they did it at Tennessee as well, right, with Chad Brinker. Chad is going to be over top of Mike Borgonzi and over top of that group of team of teams with Dave Ziegler and Reggie McKenzie. So you're going to see more of that. You're going to see the whittling down of areas, because it's so big right now that a president can't contribute to, in my mind, they just don't have the background and the time to contribute to the football building. And so that's what I think you're going to see a lot more of.
I'm dying to hear about your process now. I'm going to pepper you with
Which one?
The GMs. The GM process.
Yeah.
I'm going to pepper you, answer whatever you want, or you can, for future interest,
okay.
Whatever.
Give me.
Take us inside the prep for it. So, like, let's start with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be a mess, okay? Can you go in there, and how honest can you be in not wanting to? Because we were like, all right, is someone ever going to go in Jerry's and Steven's office and go, you want to know what the problem is? You guys really want to win? Everyone thinks you're the problem. That probably isn't going to get you the job, but the Woody Johnson drama, the kid running Madden, how do you approach that to find out if this is going to work for you?
Well, this is my big thing. So I was interviewing for the Jets job, understanding that they were truly interested in having an experienced man come in there, right? I interviewed, John Robinson interviewed next. So I came in with a very different approach than what ultimately Darren Mugi did. Darren's a good young general manager prospect. He hasn't done anything yet, of course, as far as a GM, but their approach, the first-timer's approach, is going to be very different than mine is. So to your point, my preparation on this had everything to do with putting together what I thought was going to be the best type of organization that would help them move from being not in the playoffs for, 14 years, mm-hmm. I think it is, and bringing back legitimate respectability to an organization that should have it. My parallel was, remember, gentlemen, in Atlanta, when I got there in 2008, it was post-Michael Vick debacle. It was a mess. I think even worse than what the Jets are, I mean, in my mind. So I was thinking, like, this is a really good parallel here.
Yeah.
Let me come in and show and talk about exactly what would help the organization. So I did a lot of work, and anyone that goes in needs to do every bit of work on the roster. They need to talk. It needs to first be, who are the UFAs? Where are they going? Do you keep them? Do you sign them? Do you re-sign them? Do you restructure? Do you ask them to take pay cuts? You have to have a really good grasp on that. This situation, there's no question. The first thing you have to answer, and you have to be stout about it, is, what are you doing with Aaron Rodgers?
Yes.
And I thought Woody Johnson, Jaime Elhai, who's the president there, who's one of the best presidents out there, they were very direct. They weren't telling me and edging me down, okay, you better say the right thing here. there's no way I would go in as an experienced guy and try to whitewash things and make it like seem like, oh, this is a perfect guy. I do. The last thing I need and want, and I got this, interestingly enough, I got this advice from Arthur Blank, who I still have a really good relationship. You better go into these interviews and ask the hard question, semantically responsible, right? you can't be a jackass going in there, you know, which some of us would love to do, yeah. You know, but you have to be very direct. And so I think the direct element, there's some people that might do that. There's others who are really concerned about that. And a first-time GM interviewing is not going to go in there and sling it around.
What was your Rodgers answer?
My Rodgers answer is, one of the best to ever play this game at that position. Great deal of respect. Of course, I'm going to lead in. Of course, he's like, yeah, I got it. I got that. Yeah. And then it's more, I think, I've watched a ton of vids on him this year and really scrutinized. He can still play. Personally, I think he can go somewhere else and be a two-more-year player. He makes plays still. He's not throwing the ball deep, of course, underneath and intermediate. He's off camber doing things. Like, this cat can still win for an organization, and he needs to go somewhere else, given just all of the stuff that was going on. So that's what I thought, and I was, you know, I believe that.
Dude, you're so good.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That was a great answer.
Okay.
I always wanted to ask this. How normal is it for an organization to force an assistant on a head coach?
It's not that normal, I don't think, because most of the time we go in with the head coach, we're like, you have final say on this area. Even though you might not have final say in the organization, like the football side, we always have said, we got to give the head coach that leeway to do that. We all give a little bit, you know, background, and we're like, yeah, we'd really like you to consider this guy. But in the end, if that head coach comes in and kicks off his time where there is a forcing of assistance, oh, that's a tough situation. I would think as a head coach, and the head coaches I've talked to is like, man, you're going to get in the one part of the world that is so mine. Please be mindful of how you interact. I mean, with Mike Smith, I was there involved. We were both neophyte GM and head coach. I had some ideas. The only thing you do sometimes is kind of the other way for me. Absolutely not this guy. I heard whoever. This is a hypothetical. I heard the guy was, you know, taking jerseys from the, you know, from the lockers. You don't want this assistant coach in there because he's a swag guy. Something stupid like that.
Right.
Which it's more that than pushing a guy on him. Now we will come with the data, and not, you guys don't want to talk about data, but you'll come with the data and say this guy is, you know, a 70% win guy in these areas. Please consider him over the guy you're considering, who is a 20% in these certain areas, right? That's one of the things that I think, again, Sumer Sports, we're really excited about in the future, because you can pull cool data in.
Let's talk about Sumer.
Yep.
What do you have going on with it this year?
So we're growing fast. You know, last time, every time you guys will bring me in here, there's more. We're building towards 75 people. You know, we were 3 people 3 years ago. We're moving fast. We have 5 former general managers. We're about ready to hire another 10 scouts. I think we'll have about 50 scouts in this organization within the next 2 years. I think that is a foundation. I want everyone to know that. I've told you guys we're augmentation. We take all of our scouting information and we apply all of this data. We have more and more. I think I told you guys, we have 40-plus data scientists and engineers. They're working on all the algorithms, and the foundation is the scouting foundation. That's why we're a different third party. We're not just a bunch of propeller heads in there. We have a lot of propeller heads who are really good, smart people, but we also have the football people to kind of balance that. It's something we're excited about.
You're a beast, man. We love having you every single year.
Appreciate
it's never enough time. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The always. Great Thomas Dimitroff sitting down with us.
Thanks, Ralph.
On the home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Luca gives his side of the story next.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.